Good morning, church.
Good morning.
That's it? Good morning, church.
Good morning.
You got to know I'm just glad to be up here and enjoy coming to do my part again. I thank God so much for this day, this opportunity. I'm going to tell you a little story, not hold you up, but when I was coming up, the last thing on my mind was trying to serve God and do what's right. That wasn't important. Getting a new BB rifle and then getting some BBs the next Christmas was all, that was important stuff to me. But now my life has changed. It's changed. And when I say it's changed, it's taken a 180-degree turn. And I'm, according to those shrinks in the military, they say I'm very analytical. I analyze. I'll sit there and look at it, which I guess plays in the success of my career in the military, because that's why I was able to do what I would do as a technician. I could look at it, analyze, and fix what was going on quick. The thing about that is that with life, when I looked at it with Christianity and looked at my soul and looked at what was happening, that's the aging process, I concluded that if you ain't with God, you're lost. If you're not with God, you're lost. I don't see how you can pursue everything that you're pursuing with any hopes of anything changing other than what flowers they're taking to the cemetery. If you're not with God. But I guess, and that's just me. I'm slow. I'm from Willard, North Carolina. You got to help, man. I'm slow. Thank you all so much for coming. I want to first thank my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for allowing us this day. Thank you for being able to be free and tell your honest, sincere feelings about things. That's important. That's important. I've been in a lot of countries in this world. And a lot of times we had to provide protection because people could not do that. And we had to reestablish governments. We are very fortunate. We take a lot of things for granted here. Take a lot of things for granted. The church leadership. Regardless of how small it is or how big it is, you can't get around the fact that we are people. We are people. And without leadership or guidance, you're lost. So thank God so much for the leadership and that we're trying to pursue God's way. I believe we are. And my church family, you're wonderful to me. I don't have any qualms whatsoever. I know you say, well, great, I don't see you until Sunday. You don't come by my place or whatever the case may be. I'm here to let you know, though, if you ever show up in Willard or in Monroe, or if we get the chance to come up here and I think about it, I'll come by. But my supervisor have me stretched out. She have me stretched out. I just want you to know, I ain't in charge of nothing. And my family, they're very supportive. I don't want y'all to think, let me say this too. It is imperative to me that you understand me for being the truth and being real. I try to be truthful and real about everything. I don't want you to sit here and think that me and my family live a facade. I caught you, didn't I? No. We have problems like everybody else did. And the first real success or step in leading and fixing that is accepting you have that. That's the first step. So I'm saying, we're doing along, and it's, I can understand now of all the gray hair that I've seen on my daddy's head, I can realize now how many I caused, Because, kids are a blessing from God, and I love them. I love them. And I thank God for mine. I really do. I think. And the thing that helps me to grasp onto reality is I realize how many children that's not their age that didn't make it to life. And I know without question, I wouldn't have made it that far either had it not been for the grace of God. So with that, let me go ahead and get in. If you would, please let me ask you to bow or pray. I don't want to get started in this thing unless God is with me on it. So if you would, please bow. Heavenly Father, I come before you this morning unworthy, undeserving, yet and still you allowed me this day. Father, as I stand before your people, my brothers and sisters, I ask that you give me what I need to deliver the word that you have me deliver. Father, I ask that you move on my heart and their heart, Father, that what we do here is truly acceptable to you, Father, and is for the edification and building of your world and your kingdom. I ask that you take this message, Father, and etch it on each and every one of our hearts that we can hold true to your word. I ask these things in your son Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. My scripture readings coming from two places. I mean, it's two scripture readings, but it comes from the same book. It comes from the same book. Titus 2, 11 and 14. Titus 2 and 11 and 14 is where my first reading comes from. And I will be using the NIV version for the first reading. I'm one of those kind of people that I want to make sure that we understand. You know, we can talk to one another, but it don't become communication until we understand. We can talk all day. When you have it, say amen. For the grace of God has appeared that offers, salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passion, and to live self-controlled, upright, and live in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. That's the first reading. The second one is in Titus, again, and it's coming from the King James Version, and it's going to be coming from Titus 3, verses 5 through 7. Verses 5 through 7. I know you say he makes things a little... I want you to understand, because this is Titus, and this is good stuff he got here, and one thing goes to the next. Make sure you understand it. When you have it, say amen. Amen. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on his abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. All right. You said, great, that's a lot of reading. That's your job. We shouldn't be doing that. But it goes to my message. A little background on this. Let me tell you a little background on this. I got two pages down. I'm sorry. Background. Many Christians wrongfully think that God's grace means that he gives out free pass that allow us to sin with no consequences of disobedience. Layman's term. You use his grace for a free pass. That world. That's why they say it. He uses grace for a free pass. Now, I had to give that thing some thought and think about that until I got to think about it, and I said, you know, that's right. Some people do. Some people do. You know, I've talked with some people, and just about everybody I've talked to, when it gets down to it, all of them know God. And if you talk to them long enough, they'll say they love God. Yeah. But when you get right into it with them, they say they have problems with Christians. Now, how can you love God and have a problem with a Christian? There's something wrong here. There's something wrong here. But anyway, my point here is that they use the term grace. How you doing? Thank God I'm here. I made it by grace. This is so and so and so good, you know. Blessed, you know, grace brought us here and this, that, and the other. Okay, where are you going? I'm on the way. I'm going to get that teacher straight. Grace got you up, but you're going to get somebody straight. Listen, grace got you up. We're going to get down into this because I think if you are in that concept, then truly you're misunderstanding grace. We ain't got to that yet. You're misunderstanding grace. Okay. And when you ask them, they'll tell you quickly, I'm not into your religion of law. I'm into God's religion of grace. They done separated again. This is the world. Now you listen. I know you look at it and say, well, what is going on? He's getting deep into this. I need to because I don't want us just being general alone so dry and run past a mistake or make a mistake in misrepresenting God's grace and mercy. We can do that as Christians. We can misrepresent it. Quickly. Their response to you, again, is like I said, which brings me to the title of my lesson. The title of my lesson is Grace and Mercy, the Complete Truth. Grace and Mercy. Now you say, well, Grady, I got that's easy. That's easy. Let me tell you something. Now, you may be a whole lot smarter than me. Not maybe. You're smarter than me. You got to be. But I'm going to tell you what caught me by surprise. What caught me by surprise was when Paul wrote the book of Titus. When he wrote the book of Titus, when he was talking here, he was explaining how we supposedly be the Christians were misrepresenting God through grace and mercy. Through grace, we were misrepresented. Let me get on into it. First, let me define grace. Theology and the theologians, the Christian theologians, says grace, the spontaneous, unmerited gift of the divine favor in salvation of sinners and divine influence operating in individuals for regenerating and sanctification. Huh? How many knew that? Y'all smart. Y'all knew that. I can look at your face and tell you. You knew that. Mercy, on the other hand, is the compassion and kindness shown to someone whom it is in one's power to punish or harm. Mercy. Please don't hurt me. Mercy. Yeah. You say, okay, what's going on? Why this is important to know, well, if I had to describe God's plan for salvation and our life, it would be three words, grace and mercy. That's what it would be. If I had, that's me. I'm slow. I'm from Willow. That's all I would say. It's just, you know, playing this. Grace and mercy. You say, but Grady, why do you say that and why is it like that? Once we accept Christ, the way of God, the life, the plan of salvation, to do the right thing by God, once we accept that, we then understand and accept. We didn't earn life. It's only through grace that you're here. It's only through grace. Wait a minute now. You say, okay, great. What you talking? Listen. You can earn a doctoral degree. You can earn strawberry quartz. You can earn whatever you want. You can earn $5 more in the yard and raking leaves. But you can't earn life. There's nothing you can do to say, I'm supposed to be here. Nothing. Which means that at that point, you are purely here because God allowed you to be here. That's grace. Huh? I know it's hard. It was hard for me. But that's what it is. That's why you're here. Grace. So you say, well, why is that important? Once you understand his power and creation, his teaching and love, his law and promise, his hatred for sin and wickedness, our ability to choose right over wrong, you can't help but realize that you are purely here by grace. That's the only reason you're here. He had the power. I wouldn't even create him. He had the power to say, he's 5 years old, I'm going to kill him dead. He got the power, listen to me, to turn all your world upside down or take your world from you. Yet he let you do it. He let you stay here. You look at his grace and mercy, and because of who we are, it is our nature to sin. Which means that the term you born in sin and shaped in iniquity applies so. Look, from day one when you hit the face of the earth, from day one, even as a child, unbeknownst, that child got to come up in a society that is what? Full of sin. You say, no, Granny, where are you? Read the book. Read the book. It's in the book. Why is this important? Then when you realize that, when you realize now that, you know, God got you up this morning. His grace kept you in your right mind. His grace gave you your health and understanding. His grace allowed you to be here. His grace allowed you to have all your possessions you want. Whoa. And I don't do no more than I do when I get up in the morning. Can't even get a prayer out of you in the morning. Sometimes you don't even want to talk about it or have that on your heart. You want to go get, I've got to go get this teacher straight. How you doing this morning? Yeah, Lord. Grace and mercy took care of me. Or here's another one. You know, grace and mercy. It is easier to ask for forgiveness than it is to beg for permission. That's a term we use. Which means, not in the military, I don't know what, y'all forgive me, I hate bringing this up. In the military, that means they're going to go ahead and do it anyhow. That's what that means. They're going to do it and try to correct it after they've done it. That's a mentality. Just go ahead and do it, and then we ask for forgiveness. Like, you know, it's easy to ask for forgiveness. That's the term. We've settled on that in society. You know, we was coming in this morning, and I was talking. My wife, you know, I go over my sermons, and we're talking about it. And I'm still on grace. I ain't got the mercy. We talk about grace. And we're talking about, you know, God still give you the right mind, the courage, the understanding to come here, hold a job, do what you're doing. Yet and still, we don't want to worship him on time, don't want to help our neighbor, don't want to do what's right, don't want to promote the word. You know, we got other things going on. And when something goes wrong, well, praise God, through grace and mercy, he allowed me to do this. He brought you here, give you all this stuff, and none of that pricks your heart. None of that pricks your heart. You know, for me, I'm going to tell you something. I know y'all say he's about crazy, but it might be. But I look at it because I'm analytical, so they say, that's what they claim. They claim. That's something they try to tell me because I'm from Wilk. I look at it and say, if that's the case, you know, I could die right now. Where did my soul go? That's the million-dollar question. He could say, great, I'm sick of your mess. Pow. Massive heart attack right now. Floop. Fell on the floor. The reason he allowed me here is grace. I didn't earn it, ain't paying for it, and don't have it on layaway. You can't get it like that. but through his grace. But yet still I look at my brother and can't have no grace for him. Grace and mercy. And when they throw it out, they throw the term out. What? Grace and mercy brought me. They throw it just like it's a flower. They're giving it out. Grace and mercy. Do you really know what you're saying? Because if you really believe that, if you're truly into that, if you're into the grace, then you'll prick every time you get ready to go to bed, every time you get up, every time you, every move you make, you'll give it, Lord. And I'm not saying you got to constantly walk with, but you realize that you only hear through another means. You have no control of God, our awesome Father. He allowed you here. Favor, favor, favor is what it is. And all he's asking is that you follow his word. Mercy. Mercy. Let's move on. I know you're tired. I'm tired. We got mercy. You know, it's amazing how God continued to grant us mercy. You know, that's something. That's something. I can remember when I said, I got something for so-and-so. I mean, can I tell y'all this? Y'all family. I was in the military. And I had a guy mess with something of mine. Now, this is before I had God in my heart and lived right. You know? I want you to know because I'm human. Come on now. I'm human. And the guy said he was under the pretense, listen to me now, that we are in the military and if you get in fighting, you're going to lose your career. Randy, let me tell you something. Boy, I was something else. I was something else. We was in Germany, and they had this apartment complex, and it was on the upstairs complex. And this guy mouthed off to me. He said something to somebody, you know, all that you don't need to know. I said, can I see you outside? He said, sure. They have galvanized, in the German apartments over there, they have a galvanized, look like a fire escape, but that's how you get up and down the thing. It's a stair landing on the outside. Miss Bonnie, this is the truth. You know, I let him go down behind in front of me. That's mistake number one. He went for it. The rule, the first rule they teach you in war strategy is the higher elevation has the advantage. Listen, I was going through my little taekwondo stuff the whole 9 yards. No sooner he hit that second step, I kicked him in the back of the head. He rolled down the steps. He did. Now, I skipped my knuckle on the side of the place, but when he got down, by the time he got faced up, I was beat. My broken English and learning and comprehension of the German language allowed me to halfway understand that the landlord come around the building and said he's calling Polizei if I don't leave. I got up and left. The next day, I was the NCORC of the Transportation Motor Pool in Kaiserslautern, Germany. The next day, that soldier sergeant come to see me. He said, I know what happened. He said, if you put another one of my soldiers, out of duty, I'm going to seek Article 15, the whole 9 yards on you. Now, he don't know what, I don't know how the guy told the story, but he don't know the whole 9 yards. Now, there's a part that you missed. But here's the thing. I showed no mercy on that guy. I had planned it. Nate, I wanted that. Listen to me. And I want you to know the truth about this thing. Listen to me. The reason I wanted it is because I wanted to prove a point to him and a female. I did. I put something on him. My point, God still woke me up the next day. And I'm out there working directly under the guidance of Satan. Directly under the guidance of Satan. I was a paratrooper. I'd fight at the drop of a hat. That's right. I'd go to your rabbit box in a minute. You got out of the way. You can believe that. I didn't lose a lot because I had four brothers that trained me. They used to beat me up. But my point to you is mercy. Out of all the dirt and stuff that I've done in my life, God could have taken me out of here. He didn't. He's still granting and providing mercy. And when we get up, we don't think, we don't recognize, we don't look at it, we want to put our little label on it, this is grace and mercy, and you're not giving God anything on what he's doing for you. First, he allowed you here off grace. You didn't earn a thing. Then while you're here, you're cutting up, doing everything else but what he told you to do. And he's allowing you mercy. He's not giving you what you deserve to get. And then you got a problem coming to church. Got a problem helping others. Got a problem promoting his word. I'm here to tell you. Grace and mercy now put goosebumps on me when I hear it. You know, it's nothing like a significant emotional event to get your attention. When that 18-wheeler run over my son's car and they were on that side over there and he called me and I could hear his voice broken up, I was in tears. I believe that I'm raising them right and trying to do what's right and trying to keep them in the will of the Lord, but I was still hurt because I was scared I was going to lose them. I thank God for allowing me the grace and the mercy to be here for me. What am I saying to you, church? Your justification, your life, your whole plan is through God's grace and mercy. Not somebody else. Not anything else. Grace and mercy. Regardless of who you are or what position you hold, grace and mercy. If he's given that to us, why can't we do it to each other? Why can't we? I don't want anybody to think that there's anything in that Bible that misrepresents God, because it's not. That's his word. So when it say grace as a free pass to do sin and get away with it, you're condemning yourself, you're hell bound. That's not God. Just by the sheer fact that you being here is proof that he has and given grace and mercy to us. So all I'm saying, when we accept the truth and believe in God. Listen to me now. And let me do God 101 with you. God 101. If you believe there's a Holy Spirit, you got to believe there's an evil spirit. You got to. There's something wrong with you if you don't. There's something wrong. Then tell me now. Good is only good. It's relative in relationship to what's bad. So you can't say that's a good spirit and nothing else. If he's robbing, he's lying, he's stealing, he's doing anything from God, that ain't no good spirit telling him to do that. Don't get it twisted. So don't sit here and mess over God and say, grace and mercy allowed me this. No! Come to grips with your soul, with who you are. Forget the world. Come to grips with your soul and who you are and God's word. Grace and mercy. That's all. Grace and mercy. We all have a lot of things that come up in life and a lot of stuff gets in your way. You know, single parent, you hear a lot of stuff come up. You know, I need this job or whatever the case might be. But you go in there. I don't know about you, but I have them come to me and they'll tell me stuff that they know they've done wrong. But you know, God forgive me, but I went in there and I put this on the application to get the job. But I believe through God's grace this is going to work. No, that ain't got nothing to do with God's grace. That ain't got nothing. You lying on the application. I'm just saying. The way we do business, we need to come to grips. That's what's right. What's wrong. I know. I got over time. You said another one of Grady Holland's sessions. I'm going to get him out of here. I just want you to understand. And please. There's a whole lot more to it than showing up on Sunday morning with a new shave and a clean shirt. There's a lot more to it. And don't ever put yourself up on some pedestal thinking that you're bigger than the next person. Not one of us. You can't earn life. It's only through grace that you got here. So if you're having a problem with your plan on how you're doing business, what life has got before you, or if you misrepresenting or overlooking the grace and mercy in your life, we offer some help. We offer some solution. Trust me. With some of the stunts I pull, all I can do is say, thank you, God. I got to get on my knees. Thank you, God. I've been some places, done some things. Now, listen to me. He kept me around. You know he loved you. He kept me around. He take care of you. But I've been through some stuff. And everybody have, but I'm just saying. For the fullness there is, you can start by incorporating God's plan. Here in the gospel, you find that in Romans 10, 13 through 17. Believe in Christ. That's in Mark 16. Repent. And you got to do that. You got to, that old way. You got to get rid of that old way. You got to get rid of that. That old way of life. Repent. Confess Christ. Be baptized. And live faithfully. If you need any help. I can't speak for nobody but me. But if it's in my power to help you from a Christian perspective, I'm here. We ask. And the church. I believe in them. And the church. We ask. If you want any help, you come now as we stand and sing.